Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'll go first and then Yemi will join me and also talk to us and we'll wrap it all up. Okay, let's have the slides. Thank you. Let me start with this quote Gary referenced it the last time. C.S. Lewis, so beautiful. Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. And we all have something to forgive. But not only that we have something to forgive, there are times in our lives when we are the ones who need to seek for forgiveness. Does anybody recognize this logo?
Yes.
What's this? Anybody? No, right. So this is the logo for Google Trends. Google Trends. So I was so keen. So Google Trends is a tool that analyzes what we all search for on the internet to tell us how popular a particular search term or whatever it is we're searching for is. So I was keen to find out, given that forgiveness and unforgiveness is a very popular topic, right? Mm-hmm. So I was keen to find out what interest people have in forgiveness, but not only about forgiveness, when it's not forgiveness, revenge. Would you like to know?
Yeah.
Let's find out. All over the world, this is what people think. So the red line is revenge. The blue line is forgiveness. So you've got a lot more people searching about revenge than they are searching about forgiveness. So I drew down a little bit to find out what it looks like in the United States. And that's what it looks like. You can see the still a lot more searches around revenge than forgiveness. There's a spike somewhere there. I have no idea why, but maybe around Christmas or maybe around Christmas. Would you like to know what it looks like for us in the UK?
Yeah.
There we go. So I took it to my home country as well. And this is what it looks like. Now, before you think it's good, it's not. I think this is a little bit skewed because you don't have as much people as we have here browsing the internet. And then the age bracket of people who do are people who barely have something to forgive. So I think in the real sense, but the whole point from the picture is that people are hurting, people are broken, and people are not healing. So we've been asked today to talk about the do's and don'ts of forgiveness, but Yemi and I thought about it and we felt we would rather not want this to come across as a set of rules that we need to follow because it's a very sensitive subject. So we thought we'd rather call it navigating the path to forgiveness. We thought it could be a series of steps towards where we need to be. We all come to a point in our lives where an incident happens. And when it happens, nothing seems to make sense. We're shocked. There's chaos. There's confusion. Feels like there's so much darkness around us. And then we move to the next stage where we're trying to process our emotions, right? So we acknowledge we're hurt. We're trying to make sense of what has happened. A lot of questions we have in our minds. Why did it happen? Who is responsible? What did I do wrong? And at that point, some of us, because of the pain, the anger, the depression, maybe anxiety, resentment, bitterness, shame, fear, and regret, will lean towards self-harm. Because we just can't understand why and how it could happen. And we have a sense of regret and shame, and then it can lead to self-harm. On the other side, we have people who also are experiencing anger, pain, resentment, a lot of bitterness. And of course, we have Google, right? And people do search. How should I deal with this situation where somebody has offended me? So we take some counsel from Google. We take some counsel from people. There's a lot of external influences, societal influences, and that is what triggers revenge in some cases. Because there's a lot of bitterness, we can't get it out of our system. But that's not where God wants us to go. He wants us to keep going forward towards forgiveness. And what triggers that is, at that point when we are self-reflecting, surrendering the whole thing, the whole incident and our feelings and emotions to God, to allow Him to start to heal us, change our perspectives, a lot of things to learn, and He can help us moving forward. And eventually we move to that point of freedom where every time you think about it, there is no bitterness. The other time Gary says, there may be scars, but they need not hurt. Right? So that's where God wants to take us to. So I want to very quickly take us through, and I'll rush through quickly because most of it will be self-explanatory. What can help us to not go left or right, but to keep moving up to that point where God actually is able to work on us, things that we can do. So it's important that we first understand what forgiveness is and why it matters, because that will help us in the journey towards healing quickly and achieving God's purpose for us, even in that situation. Number one, let's start with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean we're approving, excusing, justifying the offender's actions, nor does it mean we're ignoring what happened. That's not what we're asking. That's not what God is asking us to do. It doesn't mean if I forgive him, then it means I'm justifying what is done, I'm excusing him, I'm approving it. That's not what it means. Forgiveness also does not mean that we pardon the person. A pardon is like a legal transaction where somebody doesn't have to pay the penalty or go through the consequences of their actions. There are consequences. So it is not a pardon. It is not about denying what happened or suppressing our pain. That's not what it is. There is pain. And we're not in denial of the pain. And it doesn't mean we're forgetting it. I wish forgiveness could wipe the memory off. But that's not what it does, right? The memory is there. But it also doesn't necessarily mean that we have to get back on good terms, things the way they were before. If it happens, fine. It doesn't mean that we have to stay as friends. But it doesn't also mean that I have not forgiven you, right? Okay, now what it is? What is it? Forgiveness is an act of kindness, a choice to extend mercy to those who have hurt us, regardless of whether they deserve it. It's not about whether they deserve it. It's not even about whether they acknowledge it. They may never acknowledge that they've done something wrong, but it's a choice to extend mercy to them. It opens the door for God to start to heal us, for God to start to work on us so that we can move forward in our lives. It can give us renewed sense of purpose. It can give our lives meaning, and we can get towards what is God planned for us. And of course, research also shows that when we forgive, forgiveness provides significant psychological benefits for the person that forgives. So it can help reduce depression, anxiety, unhealthy anger, symptoms of PTSD. Right, number two. We have to express our emotions, but with control. Remember, I said it's not about suppressing the pain. It's not about suppressing the emotion. So let hate burn, but let it burn out. So allow yourself time to experience it. The initial reaction you have towards that person could be that of anger, right? Don't suppress it. Allow it, but let it stay under control. That's one. Number two, you need to allow yourself that moment to say, ouch, that hurt. That's the feeling that accompanies that anger that we're expressing at that point. But don't remain stuck in bitterness. We need to confront our vulnerability as well. Number Another point on that, understand your inner pain and let's clearly identify who really needs to be forgiven. What is it that people have actually done? Because sometimes it's just some little imperfections of people, right? So we need to identify what it is that people have really done and who actually do I need to forgive. That's important. We need to be able to clarify that. All right, number three, we need to admit our struggles and be honest about our pains. Let me take us through that very quickly. God's standard for forgiveness is beyond what any human can achieve alone. It's natural to struggle with it, but we need to acknowledge that. Be open and honest with God about where you are because it's a journey, right? Number two, surrender your hurt and pain to God, but remember that he will also ask you to submit certain rights to him. Like your right to criticize or judge. So he's not only going to ask for your pain, he's going to ask for your right to criticize or judge. Be open to God's perspective on your pain, your circumstances. Nothing catches God off guard. And he always has a plan. God always has a plan. So the question we should be asking is, what could God do? How can God turn this around? How can God move me forward in this situation? And lastly, we've got to be open to how God might want to use other people to help us, because support is important. God will use people around us, and we have to be open to how God might want to use friends, a church family to help us. Now, number four, we have to build capacity for forgiveness. This is something that you and I actually need to work on before we get to that point where we make the decision to forgive. I do hear people say that forgiveness can take a long time. I don't believe so. And I'll tell you why. Forgiveness happens in an instant when you make a decision. But the journey towards that point takes time. And the journey after that point takes time. But at that point in time, you decide, I want to forgive, I want to let go. And that is where God starts to heal us. But it takes us some time to get to that point. If forgiveness takes 20 years to do, I wonder if God were to treat us the same way. I ask God for forgiveness and he tells me, come back in 5 years. It's going to take 5 years before I forgive you. The journey to that point takes time. The journey of healing after that point could take some time as well. But we need to build capacity to get to that point. And this will help us. We need to see ourselves through the eyes of God. Nothing that has happened, nothing that anybody has done or will say or will do to us changes what God thinks about us, changes how God sees us. So we need to see ourselves through the eyes of God, amen, not through the eyes of people. Yeah. Number two, we need to renew our mind in God's word and be mindful of what we see and hear. There are a lot of triggers around, and we've got to be careful what we listen to, what we see, and avoid speaking negatively about ourselves. We need to let go of guilt and regret and release the offender from fear and guilt. And four, refrain from speaking negatively about the person or the situation. Because if you don't, it will keep triggering the anger, the resentment. You don't have to say anything. I don't have to say anything. If what I was going to say is negative, I should rather just keep quiet. I know it's tough, but this is how we build capacity to forgive. Okay? Are we in need of forgiveness? Because it's not about us giving forgiveness. There are times when we also need to seek forgiveness. So Yemi will come over and speak to us about that.
Lovely. Okay, so my slide is shorter and I'm really pleased with that. So, in our journey of seeking for forgiveness, are we in need of forgiveness? Certainly yes, every one of us, because the Bible tells us that for all I've sinned, I'm falling short of God's glory. So that means we need that forgiveness. And the first way is, we acknowledge our wrong to God and ask for his forgiveness. It's there in our daily prayer. Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. So, we have to receive it as well. Believing by faith that God has forgiven me. I choose to forgive myself. You can choose to forgive yourself. I mean, I've heard the statement saying, how can I forgive myself for all I've done? Yes, I can, because God has forgiven me. So, acknowledging our wrong to the one we have hurt. I come from a different tribe, part of Nigeria, in which an elderly person will never come to you and say, forgive me. So, I made that choice. It doesn't matter how old I am. I am ready to say, please forgive me for what I've done. And wish you to, if we're truly in Christ. So believe that you can be forgiven. Confess what you've done. That is really important. It's part of the way of seeking for forgiveness from others as well. Acknowledging, I've wronged you. I'm sorry. And identifying that we have hurt someone. We need to give them the time and space. I can remember the first instance of the story that we heard about that woman whose son was murdered. And she made that choice to seek after the one who is in the prison for what he's done. But she made the choice to seek after him. And I was like, that is like Christ, seeking after me, seeking after us to forgive us. So, in some instances, certain wrongs can be complex. I mean, if it were to be the opposite way around, in which the young child that was in the prison was the one seeking after the woman who has lost her child, who was killed by him. If she wasn't ready, he might be rejected at that point by her. But that doesn't mean she has chosen not to forgive. But it might be because the time is not right. So seeking the counsel from a trusted friend, asking them to pray with us, that could be one of the other way around too, to be able to navigate the path to forgive that person, or for us to go to them and ask them to forgive us for what we've done. So, in all our journey in life, God is at work in us. He's not done yet with us. He's not done yet. When we're hurt, when our heart is broken, it feels like there's a dark cloud. For me, I have experienced it. It felt like there was a weight upon my shoulder. I've prayed to God about it, but it's just not working yet. But God, I've still got work to do in us, both on the offender and the one that has been offended. Okay.
Right, thank you. Praise the Lord.
So this is very important as well. Pick your moment wisely. They say time heals, but I don't think time heals. God is the healer. If time heals, people would not carry grudges for 20 years. Time doesn't heal, but time does allow God time to work on us and to work on the offender. So that's an important one. Right? Now, I want to speak to us as we wrap this up on the power of changed perspectives. Because I said, as we move into that box of forgiveness and God start to work on us, one of the first things that God start to do is to change our perspectives about the situation. And when our perspectives start to change, it becomes very powerful, not only affecting our lives positively, but also impacting other people's lives around us. And I want to show us a few examples from scriptures, and then we'll pray to see how powerful our lives can become, how God can express himself through us in a greater way as he starts to change our perspectives about the situation. Stephen, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, was murdered for doing the right thing. He was stoned to death for preaching. And at a point when they were stoning him, He prayed, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." I wondered, if I was the one, wouldn't I be praying, God, if you could rain down fire and thunder and find me a way to escape? He knew there was no way to recover for him. That was it. That was going to be the end of his life. And someone in that moment, when he knew he was going to be no more, he wouldn't be able to talk to his friends, his family, his another point, still prayed, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And that change in perspective that prompted him to pray this prayer led to something. Saul's conversion in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. How do I know? Because the Bible says the witnesses, those who stoned him, laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would later encounter the Lord and did all of the great stuff that you and I know him for today. He prayed. I believe there will be so many other people in that gathering among the witnesses that stoned him that the Lord would have saved because he prayed for them. Gary spoke a lot about Joseph, right? And in Genesis 45, 7, 50, 15 to 21, he had a change of perspectives before he met his brothers. And he said, "Hey guys, this isn't about you. You didn't send me here. God sent me here." And later on in Genesis 50, those guys thought because now Jacob was dead, they were in trouble. So they thought, right, let's go back to... Before the point at which Jacob, their father, died, I read those chapters properly. They didn't actually ask him to forgive them. They didn't. He forgave them. He released them. He was hoping for a wonderful relationship from that point forward. But for 17 years, his brothers were held in fear because they didn't ask him to forgive them until Jacob died and they thought, right, now we're going to be in trouble. But Joseph, a man whose perspectives has changed, said, "I'm not in the place of God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." So Joseph didn't play God. His forgiveness was not conditional. The Israelites were saved. And of course, his life and work in Egypt was not disrupted. Because seeing his brother, if he hadn't had a change in perspective, could disrupt his life. Because everything would just come flashing back. And there was no way he could have handled it without it disrupting his life. So he had a changed perspective. And what about Jesus as we round up this morning? In the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not as I will, but as you will." And then he got up at some point and said to his disciples, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And in Luke 22, the Bible says, after he had prayed, angels came and ministered to him. An angel came from heaven and ministered to him. Now, what do I want us to see from the account of Jesus here? He didn't deny that he was sorrowful and distressed. Because he was quite open to his disciples about it. He said, "Guys, I feel so sorrowful." Acts 10:38 says God anointed Jesus. He went about doing good. All he had ever done was good. And now they were going to kill him. They were going to crucify him. They were going to punish him. And the weight of what he was going to go through for the people he loved. He was sorrowful. He was distressed. We cannot deny. We shouldn't deny that we're sorrowful and we're distressed. And he asked his disciples for support. He said, "Watch with me for an hour." But did they? When Jesus came back, the first time, he said, "Couldn't you even watch with me for an hour?" And then he went back to pray. But after an angel had come to minister to him, his perspective changed. He was rather compassionate towards them. It wasn't about Jesus anymore. He said, guys, it's about you. Get up, pray so that you don't enter into temptation. It wasn't, get up and pray for me. I was hoping you would stand with me after these years of discipling you. He said, get up. Because it wasn't about him, because his perspectives about the entire situation had changed. And even in his anguish, the Bible says he prayed more earnestly. And when the soldiers came, and they chopped off someone's ear, what did he do?
Healed it.
No revenge, no eye for an eye, no tooth for a tooth, no tolerance for wrongdoing. He said, no, guys, we don't do that. He was still the gracious and merciful healer. And even on the cross, his pain was not louder than his purpose. He still saved a sinner like me, even on the cross. So that's how powerful changed perspectives can be. Forgiveness opens the way for God to work in us, bringing us healing. When perspectives are changed, the wounded begin to pray for those who caused them pain. Selflessness begins to take root. There is compassion towards others. You know, sometimes it is not only the person who has offended us that feels the anger. Even other friends around us can feel the heat and know something is really wrong. But we have compassion towards others. We maintain our stand against wrongdoing. No eye for an eye. No tooth for a tooth. And through our pain, God's healing can flow to others, transforming and even saving lives. Amen. Forgiveness is freely offered, extended without condition, when our perspectives change. Before we pray, Yemi's going to come and share a testimony just to let us know or to encourage someone today that we can need help. We can't do it on our own. So Yemi, why don't you come and share that testimony? And if anybody would like to be prayed for today, then you can come and receive prayer.
Yeah. So it happened right here in one of our evening surveys when I have been struggling for 5 years before then with an issue that happened within my extended family. I've prayed to God about it. I've fasted even over it because I was struggling to forgive. So during that evening service, I sat right there and I heard a prompting from the Holy Spirit saying, stand up, go to the front and ask to be prayed for over that issue. But I was like, God, it's late. The kids need to go to school in the morning. I need to leave. I'm not going there. So I didn't. And then a few weeks down the line, it was in the morning service, this time around, and that prompting came again. Get up. Go to the front and ask to be prayed for concerning that issue. So this time I summoned the courage. And I was like, but you know, God, it means I'll have to tell them what happened. So I did. And I'm grateful that I did. I shared it right there with our pastoral team. And they laid hand on me. And they prayed for me. And I didn't even know that I was going to cry on that day. But I was glad that I did. And that day, I knew that I have received that strength from God concerning that issue. Because following up when I met with my mom, the weight that I used to felt on myself was gone. I was free. And I really thank God that. Yes, sometimes we might need someone to stand with us, to pray with us, to pray for us concerning that issue. We should not be afraid to share it, knowing that we're sharing it in confidence, of course. But to have someone come along beside us to pray for us and with us, that was a blessing. And I hope that someone right here today will also be blessed by the strength that we receive from God to forgive. Amen.
Amen. Well, she didn't tell me all of the details. The first time I'm hearing the testimony, but when she said she came out to be prayed for, I was just thinking in my mind, God, I hope I wasn't the reason why. All right, so finally, there's this article that Yemi sent to me just a month before we got married. We got talking last week, and it just came up. And it's a lovely article, Installing Love, a conversation between a tech support guy and a customer. And so if you scan the QR code, it will take you to, I created it, put it in a PDF. It's a lovely article you might want to read. It will encourage you about this subject of forgiveness. Wherever you are in this journey, God is gracious and God is merciful.
Amen.
Amen.